The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 29, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on December 26th, 2014, in Melbourne, Australia.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Om namo
Deva Uchu
Namama
Te Deva Pada Aravindam Prapana Tapa Upashama Atapatram Yatmula Keta Yataya Anjasa Uru Sansara Dukam Bahi Uchipanti Deva Uchu Namamate Deva Padaravindam Prapanna tapo pashamatta tatram Yanmula keta yatayon jusoru Sangsara dukam bahir upchitanti Deva Uchu Namamate Deva Padaravindam Prapannata Po Pashamatta Patram Yanmula Ketayata Yonjushoru Sangsara dukam bahir utchapanti. Deva Uchu.
The demigods said,
Namama.
We offer our respectful obeisances. Te, your
Deva.
O Lord, Pada Aravindam, lotus feet, Tapana, surrendered, Tapa, distress, Upashama, suppresses, Atapatam, Atapatram, umbrella, Yatmulaketa. Shelter of the lotus feet. Yataya. Great sages. Anjasa. Totally. Uru. Great. Sangsara ghutukam. Miseries of material existence. Bahi. Out. Uchapanti, forcibly throw. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The demigod said, O Lord, your lotus feet are like an umbrella for the surrendered souls, protecting them from all the miseries of material existence. All the sages under that shelter throw off all material miseries. We therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet. Purport. There are many sages and saints who engage in trying to conquer rebirth and all other material miseries. But all of them, those who take But of all of them, those who take shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord can completely throw off all such miseries without difficulty. Others who were engaged in transcendental activities in different ways cannot do so. For them, it is very difficult. They may artificially think of becoming liberated without accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, but that is not possible. One is sure to fall again to material existence from such false liberation, even though one may have undergone severe penances and austerities. This is the opinion of the demigods, who are not only well-versed in Vedic knowledge, but are also seers of the past, present, and future. The opinions of the demigods are valuable because the demigods are authorized to hold positions in the affairs of universal management. They are appointed by the Lord as his confidential servants.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tambitam Tamsajivam Sadaitam Zavadudam Bhadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shimishakam Vitamscha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadishatarine. So, there are a class of transcendentalists who consider themselves to be liberated by merging into Brahman. But Bhagavatam says, Vimukti maninas. Their liberation is in their minds only. They think they are liberated, but actually they're not liberated. Because they don't remain permanently fixed. You may fly in the sky of Brahman for some time, but you will come down again. Just like you may get a little airplane and go flying around for a while. But after a while, you run out of fuel and you'll have to come in for a landing once again. So by dint of severe penances and austerities, they're able to fly for some time in the sky of Brahman. But once they burn off the fuel of those penances and austerities, they come back again to material existence. Because they have no regard for the lotus feet of the Lord, Bhagavatam says. So why undergo so many penances and austerities for simply a temporary relief from material existence? When you're not really relieved, you just think you're relieved, is it? The advice, the first class advice given here is take the devotional service. Because by devotional service, you actually become free from all material miseries. Even while in this world, the pure devotee is free from all miseries. And they say, wait, how's that possible? I see they're getting old, they're getting sick, and they're dying. How you can say they're free from material miseries? Because they don't identify with that body at all. They're just using it in Krishna's service, that's all. The pure devotee is not in any way identified with his body. It's just a tool he's using for Krishna. It's like you're using some tool to do some service. The tool goes bad, so you just get another tool and go on with your service. So for the pure devotee, the body is just a tool. He doesn't identify with it at all. It's a tool he's using for Krishna. So even if the tool goes bad, it doesn't. He's not pinched by that. He's deriving his happiness simply from his loving relationship with Krishna. He's absorbed in thinking about Krishna, talking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, bowing down to Krishna, offering foodstuffs to Krishna, honoring the foodstuffs which have been offered to Krishna, spreading the teachings of Krishna all over the world. This is the pure devotee. He has no desire to enjoy, therefore he can't suffer. So for us neophytes, the problem is we still want to enjoy, you see. Therefore we are suffering. That's a difficulty. We still want to squeeze some enjoyment out of these senses. This is our foolishness on the neophyte platform. We still want to squeeze some enjoyment out of these senses. Therefore we must suffer. So how do we get free then of this tendency to want to enjoy the senses? It's simply a matter of learning how to become absorbed in the mellows of Krishna Bhakti, the sweet nectarian mellows of devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Coming to that position, you see, getting that higher taste, you see, that's the key. Vishayavani Vartante Nirahar Rashidehina Rashavarshang Rashopyashva Parangjushtanivartite. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So that's what we have to do. We have to somehow get that higher taste. That will save us. If we don't get the higher taste, what are we going to go for? Lower taste, sense gratification, kama. You see, we have to somehow get that higher taste. That's what we have to get. So somehow or other we have to get it. We have to become greedy for that higher taste. Very, very greedy to get that higher taste. This is described by Rupa Goswami. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam yadi katopalabhyate tattala yang api mulyamekalam janmakoti krishakritairna labhyate. This is actually the verse from which Prabhupada has derived the term, the most wonderful term, Krishna consciousness. In Sanskrit, it's Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita. Krishna bhakti, Krishna rasa. It means to be absorbed in the mellows of loving devotional service to Krishna. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita. So, we want to be absorbed in the sweet nectarian mellows of devotional service to Lord Krishna. We want to be Krishna conscious. So, Rupa Goswami says that this pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness, it cannot be had even by executing penances and austerities in hundreds and millions of lives. It can be achieved only by paying one price, and that is lalyam, the intense greed to obtain it. Therefore, he says, if it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. So that's what we have to do. We have to purchase it. And what's the purchasing price? Faith, shraddha. If you have faith, then you can purchase this rarest of all commodities, Krishna consciousness. This is the whole platform of our bhakti yoga system. The very first step is you have to have faith. It's called shraddha, or preliminary faith. And then by associating devotees, by taking shelter of the whole process as described in the Nectar Devotion in Chapter 6, the 64 items of devotional service. Then gradually, the dirt is cleansed away, anartanavritti, and then you come to nishta, which is solid faith, you see. So, at least we should have preliminary faith. And then we should work very diligently, day in and day out, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, even lifetime after lifetime, we're willing, you see. If we don't achieve it in this life, we want to keep doing it until we achieve the perfection. Of course, Prabhupada told us we can achieve it in one life. Although it's stated in his books, it's not possible to go back to Godhead in one lifetime. Prabhupada actually said that. But by his mercy, and Lord Chaitanya's mercy, it is possible. That's an exception to the rule, you see. The spiritual master can make all kinds of merciful concessions. Special mercy he can give to help us. In this one lifetime, Prabhupada said, we can achieve. So therefore, we should give it all-out effort to become pure devotees as soon as possible. That my every thought, my every word, my every deed, in all times, places, and circumstances, is 100% pleasing to my spiritual master and to Lord Sri Krishna. In this way, we have to completely purify our existence so that there's not any lust left. There's no anger, there's no greed, there's no madness, there's no illusion, and there's no envy. Just kick it all out. It's like, I like this phrase here, all the sages throw off all material miseries. That's really a wonderful idea. Take the material miseries, just throw them, just kick them away, throw them off, you know, get out of here, you know. Get out of here, birth, death, old age, and disease. Don't mess with me, you see. I like that. They throw them off. Reject them. You see? The materialists say, well, you have to take the good with the bad. That's a loser's philosophy, you see. You got to take the good along with the bad. You got to take happiness along with misery. But no, we don't want the misery. We throw off all the misery. Get out of here, misery. We don't want you around, Mr. Misery. You see, you don't have to be unhappy. You don't have to ever be unhappy, you see. Just throw off all unhappy, all misery, all negative stuff. Just throw it out. Just embrace the process of pure devotional service in your heart of hearts. And the material miseries will never touch you again. You'll become immune to all of the miseries, you see. This is our process. So maybe there's some questions. Here's one. Can you please explain about Ojas and Tejas? I don't remember what those are, Ojas and Tejas, and how to increase it. So I don't remember this. I don't remember what they are, Ojas and Tejas. Tejas is strength. You have to tell me what those mean, and then I can explain. Any other question? Questions, anyone? Yeah.
Can you tell me what the difference is between austerity and penance?
What is the difference between austerity and penance? They're used actually as in a synonymous way. They can be understood as being synonymous. Austerity means to embrace misery. Austerity and penance means you voluntarily accept miseries. Just like for some people, getting up early in the morning is a miserable thing. See? Getting up early, like at 4 o'clock in the morning, that's really a miserable thing. I remember when I was a kid, we never got up early, but then once a year we would go on our vacation, and Dad would come and wake us up like at 5 o'clock in the morning, and it was like the most hellish thing I could ever imagine to wake up, you see, early in the morning. So, but the devotee voluntarily takes these things that may appear to be suffering, and they actually become transcendental bliss. You know, like taking only, like fasting on fasting days, or, you know, only taking prasadam, or, you know, giving up illicit sex. For some people, that's the most heavy austerity they could ever imagine doing, giving up illicit sex. Because there's so many people addicted to having illicit sex. And to give it up and to stop chasing women, it's a, like, inconceivably miserable thing. So whatever we have to do, even if it's an austerity or a penance, it's difficult for us, we should embrace it. And then that what was appeared to be a very miserable thing in the beginning becomes the sweetest nectar. This is described in the Bhagavad Gita, that happiness in the mode of goodness is poison in the beginning and nectar at the end. So we just have to do the needful. We have to take those things which may not appear pleasing to us. Sometimes our spiritual master or authority asks us to do something, and it appears something we wouldn't really like to do that, but we accept it anyway, and we actually become happy and blissful in doing that in due course. Can you mention a little bit about the amazing letter you found from Srila Prabhupada to his disciple on chanting? I can't remember what... It must have been something I wrote in my thought for the day thing on the internet. But I'm trying to remember which letter that was. But I can't recall offhand what that would be. Is it okay to chant 16 rounds when it is 3 a.m.? Yeah, you can chant when it's 3 a.m. Since it is not Brahma Muhurta. No, you can chant before... You can chant at 3 a.m. That's good. How to balance spiritual life and material life. There's a nice verse about this in the Ishopanishad. Vidyam cha vidyam yashtad vedo vayam saha avidyayamritam nitat vidyadamritam mashnate. That only one who can balance material life and spiritual life is able to transcend the influence of the modes of nature and attain to immortality. So it's an important thing. How do you balance them? Actually, we're already very well situated in material life. So now we have to balance it with spiritual life. It's not like, well, how can I be more materialistic? Now, how can I become more spiritual? We're already materialistic. We're already 100% materialistic. Now, how we can bring in spirituality, you see? So, Prabhupada always said we should take whatever sense gratification is necessary to keep body and soul together. So you keep yourself healthy, whatever you require, whatever sleep and eating, whatever eating, sleeping, mating, and defending you require to stay healthy, keep yourself in good physical shape, do that. And then the balance energy you should use for self-realization, Krishna consciousness. The letter which talks about feeling Krishna's presence while chanting. Oh yeah, there's a letter. I forgot the details of that letter. There was a letter where Prabhupada was saying how you should feel the presence of Krishna. It's a wonderful letter. I just don't recall the details of it. But yeah, there is a letter like that. When you chant Hare Krishna, feel the presence of Krishna. So you may say, well, how can I do that? Well, the first thing is you have to understand that Krishna is present. Is the sound vibration Krishna, is it Krishna or is it not Krishna? Is it literally the person Krishna, or is it not literally the person Krishna who is manifested? It is literally the person Krishna. When you vibrate Krishna, that person who is the source of everything, who is emanating everything from his transcendental body, by dint of whose mercy there's unlimited happiness available in this process of Krishna consciousness, that person becomes fully present in his name, when it's chanted by a devotee with love. So, understand that Krishna is present and just try to acknowledge. If Krishna walked into your room, would you neglect him? Or would you give him your full attention in a humble mood of submission, bowing down at his feet? So when you chant Hare Krishna, you've invoked the presence of Krishna. How are you treating him? Now he's appeared, how are you treating him? Neglectfully? You're chanting Hare Krishna, thinking about something else at the same time? Well, I think I want to go take a nap, or I want to go eat something, or, you know. What are you doing when Krishna appears? Are you giving him your full attention? You see, so in this way, it's very important to acknowledge the presence of Krishna and to receive him with love and devotion when he appears as Nama Prabhu, the holy name. The devotees with whom I live with some time, I feel that because they're so busily engaged in their various projects and services, that there's a lack of personal connection and care. Thus, I feel I do not have a deep relationship with any devotee. Can you please give advice on how to fix this? Why are you thinking, they're not giving me enough care and attention? Why don't you give them care and attention? You see?
We always want to find fault with others. Well, they're not being friendly enough. Why don't you be more friendly? You see? See, you and Manaji are avid travelers for preaching, which are some of the cities, countries that have left an impact. Which are some of the cities and countries that left an impact in your heart in terms of potency of Krishna consciousness? Well, I can tell you, there's one temple that really inspires me like anything. It's just an amazing temple. It's just, and I think about it, I just go into ecstasy, and that's called ISKCON Melbourne. This temple is an amazing temple. It really is. I see many temples around the world. I have to give all credit to Aniruddha Prabhu and those who are helping him. And this is an incredibly well-managed, wonderful temple of all of this kind. It's one of the absolutely the best temples in the whole movement. Absolutely. I'm not saying that out of flattery or something. I'm just telling you the truth. I remember Papa one time made a comparison like that. He was really nectarian. He had just come through South America, Atlanta. No, it wasn't to Atlanta yet. He had gone through South America, he'd come up to Miami, and then he came to Atlanta. He says, "I can see that of all the temples, your temple is the best," Prabhupada said. And the devotees went into ecstasy. I never forgot that. It was so nice. Prabhupada was encouraging everyone there. Let's see, we have any more? See here. I think the questions have run out. Any more questions? Here comes someone. Okay. All right. Can you please explain the importance of anusadhana and the demerits of anukadhana? Sanskrit is not my native language. I'm sorry. What is Anu? What is Anu Sarana and Anu Karana?
Anu Karana means you see somebody doing that and do it.
To follow the example of someone, and Anu Sarana means to obey the teachings.
Anu Charana, I don't know what is Anu Sarana, but Anu Karana means you just
to follow the example of someone. And then what? Anu Shadana?
Whose question is that? They can tell me.
Well, I can deal with this Anu Karana. If you want to, it's great to follow the example of somebody who's fixed up in Krishna consciousness. That's great. But don't follow the example of someone who's not. Let's say there's some neophyte devotee of so many anarthas. And, you know, if you want to follow examples, you have to be knowledgeable in the teachings of Srila Prabhupada to see whose example you really want to follow. You see, if you follow someone's example is not a good example, then you become also a bad example. So that's one thing we can say about it. Okay. When Krishna killed Shishupal, his soul merged into Krishna. Is this correct? Does the soul lose its identity when the soul merges with Krishna? No. The impersonally realized one who achieves that suyuja mukti, they float for some time as a particle within the effulgence of Krishna. It's not that they totally lose their identity. A living entity is eternally an individual, even when he goes into the temporary state of a dormant kind of condition in Brahman realization. He comes out after some time, because it's not, as I explained earlier, it's only a temporary position. Okay, when we engage in preaching and book distribution, we tend to neglect personal reading and weak sadhana. Well, preaching and book distribution is sadhana. It is very powerful sadhana. So, I remember years ago I was in the Brahmachari ashram, and we had some nice Brahmacharis there. We had Vaisheshika Das Brahmachari, Suradas Brahmachari,
But I remember they would go out and do the airport. They were working really hard, just in actually in ecstasy. They were in like samadhi, distributing books in the airport. And they would come back, and they were working very hard in preaching, but they came back, and they would read Prabhupada's books. These devotees had strong, their preaching inspired them to have strong sadhana, because they wanted to be potent for preaching. And because they were distributing books all day, and they came back, they were just greedy and eager to read, to taste the nectar of what they were distributing all day. So I don't see that these things, you know, they're acting against each other. If you're in the proper consciousness, by preaching, your sadhana will become more strong, you see. Become, your chanting will become more intensified. Your reading will become more... you may not read for 10 hours a day. You may only read a half an hour a day if you're out distributing books all day. But that reading will be very intense if you're in the proper mood. That's what I've seen. The Sankirtan Maharatis, they have very good sadhana. They go to the morning program, they go deep into the kirtan. I've seen these men, how deeply they go into bhakti rasa. So it doesn't work against you. To be engaged in preaching actually increases the power of your sadhana. Can there be spiritual anxiety and spiritual miseries? Sure. Absolutely. Prahlad Maharaj said he had personally no anxiety, but his one anxiety was to see the suffering souls of this material world. So the more you feel anxiety about the suffering people on this planet, how this planet is breaking down, the whole social structure is breaking down more and more. Just see the recent things going on in Sydney, the cafe attack, and now they grabbed some other terrorists the other day. It's just, you know, things, the whole social structure is disintegrating, you see. And to be the anxiety that these people are, you know, an anxiety about the world situation and want to do something. Something has to be done. We can't let the society completely go into you know, total chaos. I mean, they're already bad enough, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. To be disturbed about that and anxiety, something has to be done now to reverse this downward trend of the Kali Yuga. You see, there is a 10,000-year period predicted in the scriptures, which began 500 years ago with Lord Chaitanya's advent, when the Sankirtan movement will gradually increase. Actually, Prabhupada, I just read a letter the other day. Prabhupada said, because of this Krishna consciousness movement, all the problems of the world will be solved. He directly states them. So, we have to, our lives should be fully dedicated to making this movement successful. This is the leading educational institution on this planet to teach people how to be who they actually are. This is not a religious cult. We're not trying to convert people from one religion to another. We want to teach all people how to be truly religious, whether you're a Christian, a Hindu, a Jew, or a Sikh, whatever you may be. We want to teach you how to become pure in your devotion to Allah, pure in devotion to Jesus, or whatever path you're on, how to purely embrace the principles of bhakti in whatever path you choose to be on, you see. So we have a universal message which will make this planet heaven, if we can just convince the people to follow, to read Prabhupada's books and follow them. Okay. How to remember Krishna? Oh, there's unlimited ways to remember Krishna. His name, his fame, his form, his pastimes, his devotees. There's so many wonderful ways. Read Prabhupada's books, chant Hare Krishna, sing some bhajans, go out on book distribution or Harinam Sankirtan, worship the deities. And there's just unlimited ways to remember Krishna. Go to Vrindavan. How to chant and hear about Krishna? Do it with enthusiasm. Say, using cow's milk is stealing milk from the cow. Really? That's not what Prabhupada says. The cow gives more milk than the calf can drink. Actually, the cows come back when their milk bags get loaded with milk. It's a great relief for them to be milked. It's not stealing milk from the cow. By God's arrangement, the cow gives milk for her calves and is the best food for the human beings. The production of more cows, which creates more misery. In this regard, is veganism better? Well, cows should not be slaughtered. They should not be treated cruelly. So actually, we kind of, in some many ways, we resonate with the vegans because they're against the cruelty of the cows. But Prabhupada instructed us that we to drink this cow's milk. And Prabhupada, of course, would always prefer to take the milk from the protected cows, but he took regular commercial milk also. Because Prabhupada says that actually milk is essential. Drinking milk is essential to get development of the finer brain tissues for understanding the Vedic wisdom. So I had a discussion about this whole issue one time with our Giri Raj Maharaj. That in one sense, of course, taking the commercial milk is, you know, it's a very thorny thing to do because they are abusing the cows, there's no doubt. Of course, the cows are getting a gata sukriti, their milk is being offered to Krishna. That's another point. But you could say it's a very thorny thing to do. I mean, you know, here you are taking milk from these commercial dairies and they're not treating the cows properly. It's a thorn, a thorny thing. So there's a nice example given by Prabhupada. It's called using a thorn to remove a thorn. Just like you go on Govardhan Parikrama and you were barefooting it and you get a thorn and, ooh, I left my tweezers back at the ashram and this thorn is killing me. Well, you take another thorn to pull out the first thorn. You see? So, by drinking milk, even it's commercial milk, we develop the brain tissues of how to become more properly engaged in Krishna consciousness and how to shut down this rascal cow abuse society, how to save the cows, you see. So we actually can drink that cow's milk and it'll help us develop the intelligence how we can actually save the cows. So it's using a thorn to remove a thorn. Giri Raj Maharaj appreciated that argument. He says he's telling that people that now after we had that discussion. How to be mindful and take a stock check of how non-attachment and the spirit of renunciation versus complacency and indifference, which are some of the symptoms of one who is generally advancing in spiritual endeavors and getting steadily purified and non-attached, renounced. That's quite a question. So, complacency and indifference we're against being complacent or indifferent. A devotee is very much disturbed, actually, about the atrocities going on in the human society. And he's very disturbed about his own lack of Krishna consciousness also. He has a very proactive, aggressive mood to conquer his own anarthas also. He has no... So being non-attached and renounced doesn't mean you're not attached to advancing in Krishna consciousness and you're renounced from becoming, you know, a pure devotee. You know, we're very attached. I want to become a pure devotee. I want to get free of all this dirt in my heart. In this way. So we're going to wrap it up here now. We have this two quick ones and then this is it. No more questions. After many years of Krishna consciousness in old age, many devotees face a problem of less friends, how to overcome it. Spend more time at the temple. There's unlimited friends here. I mean, how many friends do you need? We got hundreds and thousands of friends. Wow, I mean, it's just amazing. I can't imagine. If I count how many friends I have before I became a devotee, how many friends I have now, it's just like I have at least 100 times more friends now than I used to. So if you want friends, ISKCON's where you got to come. Some charitable organizations ask for money from others to give to the poor and the needy, etc., but personally they don't give their own savings. What kind of charity is this?
Yeah, you have people, you know, they're highly paid executives for some charity, and they, you know, they're working to raise money to give to the poor, but they're not personally giving any of their own money, and they're getting a big fatty salary for working for the United Way or whatever it may be. So that is not really charity. Charity means one sacrifices one's whole life to save people from their suffering. That's real charity. And that you will find here in the Krishna Consciousness Movement. We have thousands of devotees all over the world who are giving their whole lives to save the people of this world from their suffering. This is actual charity. So, I'm sorry, the internet people, I'm not going to answer your questions today. We've already gone over time. So we thank you all very much, and keep it up. You're doing great things here in Melbourne. It's just wonderful what you're doing here. Please continue in this way and make this whole part of the world Krishna conscious. Just keep on doing what you're doing. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
He's great, Singh Shandasa Dikari. He's great.